Hello, good evening, and welcome to Business Matters here on Highland Radio with me, Chris Ashmore. The focus of attention in this week's programme is tourism in Donegal and the success of the Wild Atlantic Way, which is a 2,500-kilometre driving route that passes through 9 counties and indeed 3 provinces, stretching from Malinhead here in Donegal right down to Kinsale in County Cork. Along the route, there are more than 157 discovery points, 1,000 attractions, and more than 2,500 activities. The route was officially launched back in 2014 by the then Minister of State for Tourism and Sport, Michael Ring. Hopes were high in relation to the initiative, and it's great to see that it really has been a huge success as far as tourism is concerned. To get an update, I've been speaking with Fulshear Ireland's Joan Crawford, Wild Atlantic Way manager, Donegal.
Joan, delighted to talk to you here on Business Matters as we look at tourism in Donegal and the Wild Atlantic Way and the success that it's been. Maybe we'll just start with a snapshot of how things are here in Donegal. Tourism remains a huge part of the local economy.
Yeah, for us, Wild Atlantic Way, we're 10 years old now, so we're starting to see tourism evolve within the county. If we look at where we were and where we are now, look, we have in the region of probably 2 million more visitors to the west coast of Ireland in the last 10 years than we would have had previously. That's generating about 3 billion in revenue. So for us, the Wild Atlantic has really worked in terms of bringing international visitors to the west coast of Ireland. So it's worth about 3 billion to the west coast and about 120,000 jobs. But look, if we bring that back into Donegal, where are we? We get about 179,000 overseas visitors, and they generate about 155 million euros worth of revenue for us. But when you compare that to the domestic market, we're still a wee bit over-reliant on the domestic market. We have 699,000 visitors that come to Donegal in the domestic market, and they generate in the region of 155 million. But the difference is the international visitor comes and they stay 7 nights and the domestic visitor come and they stay 3 nights. So, look, we're trying to even that out. One of our big job of works for us on Wild Atlantic Way is the Wild Atlantic Way is a tale of two halves. So if we look from Galway to Donegal, we want to grow the international visitors. And we look from Galway to Cork, it's about dispersing the visitors. So the big job of work of us going forward now under our new strategy is growing international awareness for the Wild Atlantic Way.
And that ties in with the fact that here in Donegal, if we go back a couple of decades, fair to say, as you've touched on there, that, you know, the majority of our tourists were people from elsewhere in Ireland, from the north, from Scotland, some Europeans, some Americans. But that is changing quite a lot.
It is indeed. Like, if we look at Donegal, we have an over-reliance on the domestic and the Northern Ireland market. But we know that we're starting to grow that USA, France and German market. They're the markets that are most perceptive to Wild Atlantic Way. So yes, we are starting to see the growth in those international numbers. And it was interesting, I was talking to one of the tour guides there during the week, and he was saying all his business this summer is totally US visitors, which is really good for us.
We hear a lot about access, and look, if you arrive on a ferry in Rosslare from France, it's a fair trek to Donegal. The south of the country will get more of that sort of traffic. There's less air access, the roads aren't as good. But on the flip side, we have that sort of uniqueness, and you know, we've less tourism compared to some other areas.
Yeah, and look, to me, that is the focus going forward. It's not about driving big volumes of visitor numbers. It's about getting those visitors that are going to come, stay longer and spend more. In terms of that access piece, I suppose there's always that mental block in the domestic market around Donegal being too far away. look, we've excellent flights from Dublin. We're starting to see an increase in that traffic into Carrigfinn Airport on that flight. We're starting to see Bus Éireann. And Bus Éireann have just launched additional routes from Dublin to Donegal this week. So the public transport infrastructure is improving, but we are trying to overcome that perception of that fact that we're too far away, but we're well worth the visit when we get here. Like,
I know, being from Dublin myself, it's 148 miles from Letterkenny to Dublin. It's 163 to Cork. But you say that to somebody in Dublin, they just feel that Cork is closer. And, you know, Donegal just is like going to Iceland.
It was just that, it was always that mindset that Dublin headed south for holidays. But COVID did one thing. It opened up the island of Ireland to the domestic market. And people were curious about other counties, and they definitely started to travel. And you can see that in the increase in our domestic numbers have gone like to over 700,000 coming to Donegal. So yes, definitely there is that perception. Like, 80% of the traffic was coming into Dublin, crossing to Galway and heading south. So our big picture is trying to interrupt that visitor path and get them heading north. So we're working quite hard with also the Causeway Coastal Route under a shared island campaign around positioning that coastal route in the overseas market. So we have a big programme of work happening there, and we're working with the Causeway Coast on a campaign in the GB market at the moment, which is advertising both of those routes.
So tell me, the Wild Atlantic Way, when it began, people had high hopes, but did anyone really think it was going to be as successful as it has been?
Chris, I remember when we were out in 2013 launching the Wild Atlantic Way, and we were down in a town hall in Dunfanaghy, the community centre, and it was the wilds of the winter. It was the year the really bad storm, and half the west coast had been washed away, and we were out selling this proposition to the industry and to the postmaster and the community centre master of the Wild Atlantic Way, and we didn't have a sign up on the road at that stage. It's amazing how much the communities have embraced Wild Atlantic Way as a concept. And the big success story for me is when you look around at small towns and villages who have reaped the benefit of it. And it's allowed a next generation to be able to stay at home. And it's given people, entrepreneurs, the opportunities to see, well, you know what, our tourism season isn't going to be 8 weeks of the year. You know, the agencies are working really hard in terms of extending that season. We have 51 registered hotels in the county. You know, it's very important for us that we ensure that they have business year round. They're floating on around 62% occupancy at the minute. We'd like to see that higher. And we know the challenges they're facing. Like, summer months are really, really good. The shoulder months aren't as strong. You're using up your profit that you've made in the summer months to keep the doors open. So we're working very closely with the Hotel Federation now in terms of, you know, what are we doing in the shoulder season coming in? Because there is that element of, you know, weariness as we head into the back end of this year and the start of next year.
In terms of the seasonality of the business, I'm sure the Wild Atlantic Way has helped matters in that the traditional tourist was coming up here, as you say, sort of in the summer months, going to the beach in the sun. But so many of the visitors going to the Wild Atlantic Way, it's sometimes the wildness, the ruggedness, a good storm. That's the sort of thing they want as well. It's not just the weather.
No, and the international visitor isn't coming for the weather. If you look, they're the ones that are out really well prepared. They've got their rain jacket and the boots with us. It's us that's fighting that concept. But we're working, like, we've 49 media visits into Donegal last year, and they had the profile of, you know, catchment of like 885 million. So we're using influencers, we're using individual journalists, we've 3 TV crews in last year, we've media groups in. So it's all about us building that picture of Donegal in the overseas markets, and we're very reliant on Tourism Ireland and helping us to get that messaging out.
Well, like all sectors, Joan, the hotel sector in particular faces a lot of challenges. You've got your obvious input costs, the pressures with the rising cost of employing people, and also actually recruiting people, and it seems to be a problem across the board.
Yeah, and it's something that the Hotel Federation are probably working very closely with Walsh Ireland on, and we've, you know, launched a programme there in the last number of years around employer excellence programme. And it's that perception that was out there around, you know, the industry. It's something we did when we went to college. It's not something we make a career out of. So there's been a lot of work in that, working with like TY years in terms of opening up tourism as a career option for them, because we've all seen anyone that works in tourism has a job in any part of the world. So the industry is working extremely hard in terms of getting that concept changed and looking at tourism as a career. There was challenges around chefs. That seems to have settled down at the moment. And yeah, the industry, like, we go out, we key account manage businesses. We hear on the ground where their challenges are. And this year we seem to be doing okay. Industry is working harder to retain the staff that they have.
If we look at the promotion of Donegal, and traditionally a lot of it was done through brochures and at trade events, which are still important, but the whole online side of things, it's really transformed promoting products of all sorts, because now you're getting people from really anywhere in the world who may have come here purely because they saw something on Facebook or Twitter.
Yeah, and that's really where we're at in terms of, like, we do bring in influencers that share their content out. I think they've gone away from the term influencers now. It's gone to content creators. But yes, we're very reliant. And us as an agency, like, you know, it would have been seen the public sector do, you know, their social media channels, etc., very safely. We're not doing that anymore. We're relying on other people's content as well, because people are chasing that more authentic experience. People don't come to stay in a bed anymore. They want to see what there is to see and do, and we need to get that into the international shop window, and we're using more than the traditional avenues that we would have used previously.
And we have such a good product, so those images there just can sell it so easily.
Yeah, and look, we're the National Tourism Development Agency, and we're really conscious that we have to be in that development field. So look, we'll see Fort Dunray coming on stream in the next number of years. That's a 12 million euro investment. 9.2 million of that's coming from Fáilte Ireland. Fáilte Ireland doesn't own anything, so we're really reliant on the industry to step up as well in terms of, you know, encouraging private sector to open new businesses. So we're also working with Donegal County Council on shared island money that we received to upgrade the platform at Sleeve League. We're working with the Culture on a new plan for Arts Forest Park. We're working with Glenbeigh National Park. They have a new plan. So there's going to be a lot of new product coming through. But we're also working with existing businesses. So under the Shared Island funding, we were lucky enough to receive 1.5 million. That will upgrade existing visitor attractions, which will give them new stories to tell. So we're hoping to launch the funding receipt allocated through that now in July. So we'll have a lot of good news stories.
There really is so much on our doorstep. Is it fair to say that maybe quite a number of people in Donegal just don't appreciate what's out there? And, you know, like, how many people have done Errigal, gone to Malinhead, gone to Sleeve League, gone to Glenveigh, gone to Tory Island, gone and done all the things that are out there?
I think since COVID, people have a new appreciation of what they have within their own county. And for us, they've become fantastic ambassadors, because they're now taking their friends and relatives and they're showcasing. A lot of people don't get the opportunity to showcase their county unless there's somebody coming to visit. And then we're doing Errigal and then we're doing Glenveigh. But I do feel since COVID, we have a really good appreciation of what we have in our own county. And those island visits, they're always a little bit special. There's something about you get on a boat and your shoulders drop and you're leaving the worries of the world behind you. But Donegal, we still, to me, have that very authentic experience, and I hope that's something we never, never lose in tourism.
Well, just on the island visits, there are boats that one can charter out. There's sightseeing trips, there's angling trips. You can go off Teelin, you can go and look around Sleeve League. There's Aranmore, Gola, Inishbofin, Tory, and Ireland's most northerly island, Inishtrahul. And you personally, I know you'd recommend a lot of those trips.
Yeah. An island trip to me is something that's really special. We've 26 islands off the Wild Atlantic Way, but the Donegal Islands still have that very authentic experience with it there. And we're working very hard to promote that Irish language experience as well, because people want to embrace, you know, the local communities and the local cultures. But for us, yeah, an island experience definitely in terms of Arranmore and Torrey. And we see now we are developing a new destination experience development plan for West Donegal and the islands. And that's really looking at the next 5 years. What do the local communities want to see in terms of future development there, and what we can do as an agency to ensure that that happens? But the most important part of those plans is about where have we opportunities to grow revenue and grow employment.
And there's something special about looking back at the mainland, so to speak, when you're off the coast of Donegal, you know, because you're really at the edge of Europe.
Oh, without a doubt, you feel as if you've totally escaped the hustle and bustle of modern day living. And the islands are starting to see that. They're starting to see the pickup on traffic out there, and they are embracing it in terms of facilitating tourism that's there. But I don't think there's a student in the country that didn't go to Arranmore as a child that doesn't come back at a later stage.
Now, back to promoting the county and trade shows and exhibitions, they still are very important, and you have that personal contact with people, and you can build up a rapport as well.
To me, tourism still is very much about relationships, and for us, the hotels work extremely hard in terms of building those relationships with tour operators to get them to come into the county. We're just off the back of Mehill in April, where we bring 250 overseas buyers into Killarney, and we give our industry the opportunity to do interviews with them. Donegal Tourism is doing an excellent job in terms of facilitating other trade shows and giving industry the opportunity to get out there. Tourism is very much about relationships, and it's really important that we maintain those relationships with both the tour operators overseas, but also in those domestic market campaigns that we have.
And what about the coach tour sector? Still significant?
Coach tour business is still very important for us. We're less likely to see the big 56-seater coaches that we would have seen previously. They're still coming into the county, yes. They definitely bolster the bed night accommodation for the industry, and really important for us in terms of that shoulder season, because it's volume and they do fill beds.
And on that point, you can still get really good value on a lot of the packages coming here to Donegal. People can be quick to say, oh, I went to Spain or Portugal, but I mean, you add in the airfare and all the added extras. And then even just comparing the food here as well, the quality that you get, you know, we have a really good package.
Yeah, and look, Donegal is still extremely good value for money. And when you look at it in comparison to, you know, the cities, Donegal hoteliers have worked really hard to maintain that good value for money. But also our food offering, like the local enterprise board and the food coast, are working really hard with producers and working with the industry in terms of getting that, you know, farm to fork piece, so that the local restaurants, cafes and hotels are using local produce. And it's really important for us, because food's such an important element of your experience, and it can make and break what you think about a destination.
And a lot of visitors, you know, they want to have Donegal lamb, or they want to have a whisky that's been made in Crawley, or they want to have that local item that maybe they can't get when they're at home.
Yeah, and that sustainable tourism experience is something that we're seeing on the rise, and that people want to know that, you know, the produce they're getting hasn't come from a far overseas place. They're looking for that experience where they're experiencing local produce.
You're listening to Business Matters on Highland Radio with me, Chris Ashmore. I'm speaking with Vulture Ireland's Joan Crawford, Wild Atlantic Way manager for Donegal, continuing on our discussion. I've been asking her about the importance of golf to the tourism sector in the county. The success of the likes of Rory McIlroy has certainly benefited Donegal, and this year the county will also get a direct spin-off as a result of the staging of the 153rd edition of the Open, which will be held at Royal Portrush. I put it to her that the golf sector in Donegal is poised for considerably more growth.
Golf has huge potential for us in Donegal in terms of it's probably one of the highest spend visitors that you bring into the county, and the length of stay they stay, and the additional spend that they have in a local area. our golf clubs have been working extremely hard in the overseas platforms for a long number of years that I'd say a lot of people aren't aware of, but we are starting to reap the rewards of that, and we've seen significant investment in the golf product. You're looking, you know, at Narayan Portnoy, you're looking at the investment that Rosapenna has put in, and Merva's doing investment now, Ballyliffin. Like, they're all golf clubs that are on the international stage that people are very aware of in terms of profiles. So yeah, golf's very important for us. And if we're looking down the line, you know, what are Tourism Ireland telling us, what the overseas visitor is looking for in terms of that, what's emerging, it's around that sustainable tourism experience. So that's work that we're doing with the industry in terms of how they're showing up in the shop window and the international visitors.
And outdoor pursuits and what we call them adventure-related breaks and holidays, a huge increase in popularity.
Yeah, as I said to you before, Chris, nobody comes to stay in a bed. They want to know that there's things to see and do when they come to an area. Look, we're trying to increase the profile of that outdoor adventure piece for Donegal as well. And this year we'll see the World Surf League Junior event coming into Bundoran from the 4th to the 7th of September. So that's huge high profile for us in terms of that event. We also fund a number of festivals throughout the county as well that have that outdoor element to it. And you're seeing those numbers starting to rise and rise. For example, the Seven Sisters and those events. People are coming to do actual outdoor adventure.
And then moving on to culture, be it in the pub with a bit of traditional music or immersing yourself in the Irish language. Again, this is somewhere where Donegal is particularly unique.
Yeah, we've worked this year, last year and this year, we're focusing really on a lot of our experiences that can be done. Gaelic Agus Fáilte is one of our promotional tools at the moment, where we have showcased the like of Crawley and Glencolin McKill and Fanad, who will do their experience through the Irish language. So it's very important for us that visitors are able to see our culture at first hand. And like, we've one of the largest Gaeltacht areas, and I'm pleased to say we're not afraid to show off our language when we get the opportunity to do so.
When it comes to compiling the statistics, which are important for you, how do you get the breakdown as to how do we find out how many Japanese have been in Donegal, and how's it all tracked?
Yeah, it's all tracked through the Central Statistics Office, and there's a little bit of controversy there at the moment around how those numbers are done. But we also would be out, we key account manage businesses, and they would give us a breakdown of where their overseas visitors are coming from. So it gives us a really good snapshot. So we would have our own personal barometer, and then we would look to the Central Statistics Office and we would marry the two together. So our barometer is due out now in the next number of weeks. So we'll see how that is panning out in terms of the overseas visitors.
And do we know, for a lot of people coming to Donegal for the first time, how much research have they done in advance? Do most people have a fair idea what they're going to go and visit? Or do you think a lot of it they'll come here with maybe, they might know about one or two things and then it's sort of on spec?
Yeah, they'll come with their bucket list. Like, they'll come, I want to do Fanad Lighthouse, I want to do Glen Bay, I want to do, you know, the Slieve Lakes. They want to do the iconics. So for us, it's about creating the experiences around those iconics as well. But I think people are pleasantly surprised. They always feel as if they didn't allocate enough time when they come, because they see then there's so much more to do. So hopefully that entices them back for that second visit. But for us, you do need those flagship attractions to pull people in first and foremost before you can get them dispersed around the county.
Yeah, and on that point, you know, I've heard people saying, well, we'll do Inishowen in a day, and then they go up and they've only got as far as Greencastle and the day is gone and they haven't got over to Urus or Mamore Gap or whatever. It's a big county. You can need quite a bit more time than you might plan in originally.
Oh, without a doubt. And that's, we're doing a we're in the middle of a destination experience development plan now for Inishowen. So when, you know, what we want to be able to do is, when we do these destination experience development plans, we want people to be able to look at a map and say there's enough in that area to do for 3 to 5 days. For us, the Wild Atlantic Way, I know, is a touring route, but it's never about doing it all, you know, all in the space of a week. We want people to come and do pieces of it and do them really well. and then move on on the route. But we want to hold people in an area for 3 to 5 days when they come.
And it's crucial to stress just how important the whole spin-off from the tourism industry, because people come in, they stay in hotels, they eat, they drink, but that money is all filtering down in the local economy. It's providing jobs and it's keeping people employed at home.
Without a shadow of a doubt, the hotel experience is staying there is really important. But if you look at some of our small towns and villages, they're supporting the cafes, they're supporting the restaurants, they're supporting the surf provider, they're supporting the touring guide, the walking guide, etc. So it's much, much more than just the bed stay. It's supporting those small, really small, medium enterprises. And that's really what Donegal, a lot of Donegal tourism is made up of, is those small, medium enterprises.
Yeah, because there's lots of people that might be a small surf school or hiking or rock climbing. Again, these operations might only employ one or two people, but it's keeping them here.
Without a shadow of a doubt. We've seen our surf schools grow, threefold over the last 10 years. And they've employed additional people and they've been able to keep a business going year round. And, you've quite unique products like Unique Ascent, Ian Muller, who does all the sea stack climbing and that. So, we've a lot of really niche, small, medium enterprises, but are delivering a lot of revenue into the area and have been able to employ additional people.
And just back to the seasonality, would the figures suggest that we are getting more people off-season who are going sort of away from the traditional break?
Yeah, we are definitely. We're starting to see that off-peak season grow for us. And that's the big area for international visitors where, we have that opportunity. We have the capacity so we can take it. But it's really about us getting Donegal out into the shop window and ensuring that we can keep these businesses open 12 months of the year.
Now, we're speaking here on a beautiful day with bright blue skies. Quite recently, there was a bit of speculation in the media about tied in with climate change, how people were maybe going away from the Mediterranean countries and the extreme heat and looking at your Icelands and your Norways and your Ireland. And again, as you've touched on there, the visitors coming here, they don't mind bringing the rain jacket with them.
No, without a shadow of a doubt. And we are starting to see an increase in European visitors coming into the island of Ireland to get away from that extreme heat. The 40 degrees does not suit everyone, and they're struggling now in terms of how they're positioning themselves for tourism in the overseas markets, but it's definitely an opportunity for us to capture that European market.
So Joan, also important on the local calendar, there's numerous festivals, you have agricultural shows, you've got fair days, and many towns have their own little events, all of which are very important. But the festivals themselves, you can get a great mixture of activities and attractions.
Yeah, we work really closely with the local authority in terms of festival funding. So we allocate $49,750 to the local authorities, and they administrate that out to the smaller festivals. And then in terms of our strategic festival funding, there's 145,000 goes into that. And that's looking at the festivals that have the potential to bring in the international visitor. So we'd have the Rory Gallagher, the Seven Sisters, the Airgill Arts Festival, the Donegal Rally. And, we've this new festival coming through this year in terms of the Saltwater Festival, which will be on the back of that World Surf event. So that's effectively replacing Sea Sessions. So that's looking at a 4-day event around outdoor food and music. We also have a new festival stream that's coming on board this year where we're looking for new festivals come in that we can work with them over a 3-year period to add on their programming so that we attract those international visitors. So festivals are such an important element of a visitor's experience. Sometimes they're not always necessarily something they come for, but if they come upon them when they're here, it just adds to their visitor experience.
And there's also particular festivals, including the likes of Mary from Dunloe, that people come back year after year. And people who maybe have emigrated or who live abroad, they come home specifically at the time of a festival.
Yeah, without a shadow of a doubt. And the Mary Dunloe committee have worked extremely hard over the number of years. And they're probably one of those festivals that are able to do that fortnight programme, which you don't see in many other festivals. We also have a new festival coming through this year in terms of Glenveagh is doing a biodiversity festival now over the next couple of weeks, really extensive programme. But those smaller festivals too do, as you say, diaspora come home for those events. You'd see it in the Lennon Festival, even the Rathmullen Regatta and the like of the Mary from Dunham. Yeah, it's really important. It's an important calendar dates for families, for friends and relatives coming home.
And looking to the future, much to be optimistic about. And there's also going to be a considerable amount of investment in the product here in the county.
Yeah, without a doubt. And Chris, that's probably one big concern for Wild Atlantic. They always feel, are we moving fast enough? So yeah, we will see that 12 million euro investment in Fort Dunry. Malhead is always there. It's something I'd like to see delivered in my lifetime in tourism. We've worked with Bundoran around a master plan there in terms of doing destination towns. We've two nice projects that will come on board in the next 18 to 24 months, which are shared facilities, which look at opening up that outdoor experience. There will be one in Tullin and there'll be one in Downings. And that's about creating, facilities for surfers in terms of changing rooms and showers and upgrading the public toilets in that area. We work with Glenveagh in terms of their master plan and it's around, just opening up the park that little bit more. So we've invested quite an amount of money with them in terms of developing that. Sleeve League, we're not finished, not by a long shot. We are going back in there to do a master plan in the last quarter of this year. For me, when I look at Sleeve League now, probably 10 years on, yeah, we have about 180,000 visitors going up there. Is all the towns and villages feeling the benefit of that? I really don't feel it. We need to go back in there and make sure that we have the master plan right, that we're spreading the visitors out in the wider geographical area.
Also, just to touch on, we've seen through Killybegs and to a lesser extent of Greencastle, the whole cruise tourism business, that's brought in a lot of people coming to Donegal for the first time.
Yeah, and I really do have to commend the local communities in both Greencastle and in Killybegs in terms of embracing that cruise business. And look, we've worked Greencastle, a lot of that business was going into Derry. We've worked on the ground with the local attractions in that area to get their experience onto the programming with Excursions Ireland, so that people could actually see when they come into Greencastle that there is things to see and do. Killybegs have done an awful lot of work in terms of the programming over there, in terms of getting the cruise business dispersed when they come into Killybegs out to the other attractions.
We hear a lot about sustainability in many parts of Europe. We put on our televisions and there's protests about too much tourism. But on the one hand, Donegal has so much to offer. We're relatively underdeveloped, but we do have a capacity to take a lot more people in.
We do have capacity, but one of the big things for us going forward is it's not going to be about volume tourism. Isn't really necessary. We will want that quality tourist that's coming, that's going to spend more and stay longer. And it's about that staying longer for us is really important. So it's important that we work with the industry to create those smaller experiences that keep people in areas for longer.
And if we just look at our hotels, the quality of hotels, we've 4-star, 5-star hotels, they can match hotels all over Europe.
Look, we're seeing a number of hotels at the minute that are reinvesting in terms of a programme of work. We've seen McGrory's reopen this week, which is fantastic. We're seeing developers that are looking at new opportunities within the county for our accommodation investment. So yeah, the future's looking bright for tourism in Donegal.
Well, my thanks to Fulcher Ireland's Joan Crawford, Wild Atlantic Way manager, Donegal. Just before we wrap things up, a couple of local business-related news items. Do you have a food business idea? Well, if you do, then you might be interested in the next food starter program that's run through the local enterprise office. You can learn more about what's involved in setting up a food or drink manufacturing business. This program doesn't actually start till September, but no harm going to the localenterprise.ie website, where you can now find out more details about it and indeed consider booking your place. Meanwhile, There will be a free in-person business support clinic, which will be held in Dunfanaghy on Friday, the 27th of June. This is an opportunity for people maybe in that area to get an overview of the supports and services available to small businesses in the county, and you can book your spot there on the local enterprise website. Meanwhile, AIB has launched its annual community €1 million fund, which supports over 70 local charities across the country. Indeed, amongst those that have benefited in the past are the Bluestacks Special Needs Foundation here in Donegal. This year, the fund will support 70 charitable organisations, and AIB is asking its customers, employees, and indeed the wider public to nominate registered charities that can connect with causes that matter most to them and their communities. More details available on the website, so it's aib.ie/community. And the Donegal Women in Business Network has announced details of its final event before its summer break. It's hosting a summer solstice leadership evening called Charting Your Course, Navigating Leadership, with guest speaker Marie Gleeson, a former Irish Navy captain who is now a sought-after speaker and leadership coach. The venue will be Oakfield Park in Raphoe, the date Thursday the 26th of June, and it'll all start just after 6:30 in the evening. So contact the network for booking, or indeed go to their Facebook page for more details. Also, just to let you know, tying in with our discussion on tourism earlier on, Go Visit Donegal has launched a new 28-page brochure highlighting each of Donegal's golf courses, both links and parklands. And it's a fine brochure. The launch event took place recently at Donegal Golf Club in Merva, and was performed by the Minister of State with special responsibility for sport and postal policy at the Department of Arts, Media, Communications, Culture and Sport. That's Charlie McConnellogue, the TD here in Donegal. Indeed, since the hosting of the Dubai Duty Free Irish Open in 2018 at Ballyliffin, the spotlight has come very much on the county and the many hidden gems of golf courses that exist, not only along the Wild Atlantic Way coastline, but the inland picturesque parkland courses as well. And at that launch, incidentally, there was a panel discussion chaired by Highland Radio's own Sean Quinn. And the event also saw a number of speakers, including Ballyliffin Golf Club's John Farron, Donegal Golf Club's Lynn McCool, and Harvey's Point's Sheila Russell, as they discussed the golf sector here in the county, and also the challenges and opportunities that exist. That new Golf in Donegal brochure is available to download from the govisitdonegal.com website, and it's also available across the county's golf clubs and at tourist offices. Well, that's it for this week's Business Matters here on Highland Radio. As always, I'll sign off by wishing you a healthy, happy, peaceful and profitable week ahead. Until we chat again, from me, Chris Ashmore, goodbye.